Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. The springtime thaw is finally here. Flowers are blooming. Days are longer. We're saying yes to more plans and finally getting outside, running, walking, moving again. It's the perfect time to upgrade your everyday go-tos with Bombas. Bombas sports socks are super comfortable and designed with sports-specific tech for running, cycling, yoga, hiking, you name it. I like running. I run all the time. And I love my Bombas socks. I wear them to the gym every time I go to the gym. I also have some of their grip socks when I go do my Pilates, which I love doing. I did Pilates on Sunday with Jordan.
Oh, nice.
And we had a good time. He came to the class I do Sunday to see if, you know, see what he was made of.
You had those grip socks on the whole time, I hope.
You gotta be gripping that reformer. Otherwise, you'll fly off, John.
Mm-hmm.
Get you to come to Pilates. Mm-hmm. You ever done Pilates, John?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll do Pilates.
Yeah, Pilates. So just for
girls, I will wear Bombas, though. I do wear Bombas.
Bombas are cushioned where you need it. I don't hear that sweet looking. And they don't slide around, so you're not constantly adjusting your socks. John goes to Pilates. People start saying he's gay. With the weather warming up, sure, it's a great exercise, but he's not gay. Add Bombas sandals into your footwear rotation.
How many different workouts do I have to do?
One more. Pilates. It's really kind of, you know, Legree. It's really Legree, you know, technically. They're Friday slides. That's what I have. Super lightweight, waterproof EVA. That's soft, but still supportive. Wear them every day. They're super comfortable and perfect to just slip on and go, whether you're running errands, lounging outdoors, or walking a tiny golden doodle that has been moaning throughout this entire record.
Mm.
And for every purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchase, one donated, with over 150 million donations and counting. Head on over to bombas.com/loveit and use code LOVEIT for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/loveit. They're great socks. You should just wear Bombas. Get rid of all your other socks and buy Bombas. Code LOVEIT at checkout, BOMBAS.com/loveit. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It live at Dynasty Typewriter. It's great to see all of you. We've got a great show for you tonight. Kara Swisher is here. Cal Penn is here. Tonight, I'll finally find out how far I'll live into the future. We'll also open the history books and see what rhymes. And then we'll bring it back to one with second thoughts. But first, let's get into it. What a week. On Saturday, Pope Leo XIV led a vigil for peace in St. Peter's Basilica, said the Chicago Pope, enough of war. President Trump took this message personally, posting a screed against the Pope on Truth Social. Yes, this is what it looks like. That is the shape of it. It's wild to think that Trump thinks posting is the best way to get back at a Pope. Have gay sex. Get an abortion. Join the radical Hussites in demanding wine as part of the Eucharist. These people fought a war because they were just getting the crackers and the priests were getting the wine and like, this has got to fucking stop. Wrote Trump of the Pope, I like his brother Louis much better than I like him because Louis is all MAGA. He gets it and Leo doesn't. I don't want a Pope who thinks it's terrible that America attacked Venezuela. And if I wasn't in the White House, Leo wouldn't be in the Vatican. Unfortunately, Leo is weak on crime, weak on nuclear weapons, does not sit well with me. Weak on crime, crazy thing to say about a Catholic priest about every crime except that one crime. Pope doesn't sit well with him. Farting Luther over here. You get it? Like Martin Luther. Started the Reformation. We cut that joke and then I did it anyway. But anyway, these attacks on the Pope will be devastating in the attack ad when the Pope runs for re-election. Speaking to reporters later on Sunday, Trump expounded further.
I don't think he's doing a very good job. He likes crime, I guess. I'm not a big fan of Pope Leo. He's a very liberal person, and he's a man that doesn't believe in stopping crime.
I heard a rumor that Pope Leo literally worships a guy who was convicted of sedition against the Roman Empire. And then Trump posted this AI-generated image depicting himself as Jesus healing the sick. In fairness, Trump did walk on water one time, but that's only because it was the quickest way to Epstein's Island. The post was met with immediate backlash from even right-wing Christians. GOP activist and one of those people who swims laps and then makes it their whole personality, Riley Gaines, wrote on X, "Why? Seriously, I cannot understand why he'd post this. Is he looking for a response? Does he actually think this? Either way, two things are true. One, a little humility would serve him well. Two, God shall not be mocked." Trump's post certainly raises a lot of questions, as does all great art. Also, it's 2026 and you can't understand why Trump would post this. I know you weren't the fastest swimmer, but were you in the pool for 10 years? I want to be honest, that's kind of unfair. She is a fast swimmer. Conservative commentator Michael Knowles posted, "I assume someone has already told him, but it behooves the president, both spiritually and politically, to delete the picture no matter the intent. Behooves? More like Trump's feet behooves, since he's the devil." Stupid. A Trump voter in Oakley sunglasses had this to say about the image.
"That's a disgrace. I'm very upset about that. I mean, how egotistical can you possibly be? I'm ashamed that he would actually do that. A man I voted for and trust."
Dude, I totally feel the same way. This was a shocking breach of trust. And are you mad about gas prices? That awesome truck probably uses a lot of gas. And you know what's funny? I don't even remember why we didn't like the Democrats. Would it be crazy if we just, like, voted for them? Should we try it? What if we try it? Just, like, two straight guys voting for some Democrats. Let's be crazy. I know there was a reason I didn't like them. I don't remember what it is. So let's just give it a shot. See how it feels. We can always stop. Let's just try it. Two masculine men voting together for Democrats. Trump later offered this explanation of the post.
"Did you post that picture of yourself depicted as Jesus Christ?"
"Well, it wasn't depicted. It was me. I did post it, and I thought it was me as a doctor."
What doctor, bitch? Doctor Strange? All right. By the way, that was an answer Trump gave while standing next to the self-described DoorDash grandma who was flown in from Arkansas to deliver McDonald's to the White House as a PR stunt to promote Trump's no tax on tips policy. Even worse, he made her watch him eat it. But here's how the event went.
"Do you think that men should play in women's sports?"
"I really don't have an opinion on that."
"You don't? I'll bet
no,
you do.
No, I'm here about pizza. No tax on tips."
"Yeah, okay."
"Pizza? She just handed you McDonald's, you dumb son of a bitch." I love that little like spinny thing he did with his foot. Like, that was like, I haven't seen him that like flirtatious since he was with Mamdani. This stunt was, of course, Trump's attempt at being a man of the people, a show he then took on the road to Las Vegas.
"The great big beautiful bill also slashed taxes on millions of American small businesses, including restaurants, dry cleaners, corner stores." What is a corner store? I've never heard that term. I know what a corner store is, but I've never heard it described, a corner store. Who the hell wrote that, please?
This fucking guy. Never heard of a corner store? Where does he think people buy corners? Corners for him to show up, I guess. Rest of us have to go out and buy them. But back to the Pope. On Monday, Pope Leo responded to Trump's attacks, telling reporters, "I have no fear of the Trump administration," like every other smug American who moved to Europe. Must be nice. Vice President J.D. Vance, who recently announced his book on converting to Catholicism, offered this head scratcher.
"In the same way that it's important for the Vice President of the United States to be careful when I talk about matters of public policy, I think it's very, very important for the Pope to be careful when he talks about matters of theology."
J.D. Vance converted to Catholicism in 2019. He's been a Catholic for less time than I've been doing podcasts. Do we think I've mastered this? Pope Leo, on the other hand, has been a priest since before J.D. Vance was born. He was on a mission to Peru in the midst of a terrible civil war. A bomb destroyed the door of the church. A guerrilla group told Leo and the other priests to leave Peru in 24 hours or be killed. They stayed. The chicken was that good. Meanwhile, the Pope feud has already spawned sub-feuds. On Monday, Italian Prime Minister and close Trump ally Giorgia Meloni called his remarks about Pope Leo unacceptable, saying in a statement, "The Pope is the head of the Catholic Church, and it is right and normal for him to call for peace and to condemn every form of war." Continued Meloni, "It's a right and a normal, like a spaghetti for breakfast or a car engine that goes bang, bang, bang." Tucker Carlson also entered the fray.
He's mocking Jesus. He's making fun of Christianity. Here's a leader who's mocking the gods of his ancestors, mocking the God of gods, and exalting himself above them. Could this be the Antichrist? Well, who knows?
Okay, but if Trump were the Antichrist, he wouldn't post an image of himself embracing Jesus as he also did this week. Scientifically, when Christ and Antichrist come into contact, 100% of their combined mass is converted into gamma rays. You dumb son of a bitch. Speaking of people who would combust if they came in contact with actual Jesus, on Wednesday, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth read this verse during a prayer service at the Pentagon.
"The path of the downed aviator is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to capture and destroy my brother."
You might recognize that passage from Pulp Fiction.
"The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men."
Yeah, it's just from Pulp Fiction. When Tarantino saw his clip, he was so shocked he spit out his wife's foot. And then on Thursday, Hegseth held a press conference to share this gem.
"You see, the Pharisees, they were there to witness, to write everything down, to report. But their hearts were hardened. Even though they witnessed a literal miracle, it didn't matter. Our press are just like these Pharisees. Not all of you, but the legacy Trump-hating press."
Thanks for coming, everybody. The war is over, but also just beginning. I'm very religious, just ask my third wife, and any reporters who criticize us are like the Jews who killed Jesus. Meanwhile, the only similarity between Trump and Jesus is they both look like someone drove a nail through their hand. I think it's okay. I know the news is bleak, and it is ugly to see these depraved freaks claiming God is on their side. It's enough to make you puke. But there are signs of the divine all around us if you're brave enough to look. Like when Joe Biden told a trustee at Syracuse University that he looks like Barack Obama.
By the way, I always want to turn around one guy and say, "Barack, what are you doing? Come here. I feel like he should be standing on the right and I should be standing on the left." Hey, did you tell this look at Barack? Anyway.
We actually cut that down. The time between him saying that this man looks like Barack Obama and us seeing this man was interminable. The suspense before that guy appears, like not since Steven Spielberg couldn't get that mechanical shark to work, has there been more tension in not seeing something. And he gets out there and it's like, I don't know, like I'm not going to be the one to decide. But he's like vaguely Barack Obama shaped. And so it's fine. I think we all were like, all right, it could be worse. Joe Biden could be president. No, that would be better. That would be better. He's clearly up for it. And then there's how the Trump administration had to tell top FEMA official Greg Phillips to stop posting about teleporting. Said one DHS official, "Greg, you need to sit down and you need to listen. Where did he go?" Or the report that RFK Jr. once pulled over during a family road trip to cut off a dead raccoon's penis so he could, quote, study it later. Unfortunately, it fell out of his pocket while on Splash Mountain. And then there was this Dutch report and some kind of poop explosion in Boxmeer, the Netherlands.
Een poepexplosie bij een bruidswinkel in Boxmeer.
Makes sense. Place is famous for clogs. And we can look to Hungary. And not just because it produced not one, not two, but three Gabor sisters with big, beautiful naturals and legs that went all the way up. This guy knows what I'm talking about. The Oakley guy. After 16 years in office and a week after J.D. Vance, the closer, visited the country to campaign on his behalf, Viktor Orban lost in a landslide despite banning his challenger, Peter Magyar, from public airways and unleashing a campaign of harassment and persecution against the opposition. A lesser comedian might say they were hungry for change, but not me. I will not. I didn't say it. I won't say it. Magyar pledged to suspend state-run media, restore judicial independence, amend the constitution to oppose term limits, and repair the country's relationship with the EU. One Hungarian politician and potential future health minister, Zsolt Hegedűs, offered a preview of how we're all going to feel when Trump finally leaves office. Look at this guy. Whoa. How cool is that? To think, that's going to be us one day, dancing in Hungary. But this week, I say we give the final word to the man in the big hat, the Bishop of Rome, who put the tiff in pontiff, when on Thursday, he said this.
Woe to those who manipulate religion in the very name of God for their own military, economic, or political gain, dragging that which is sacred into darkness and filth.
And I'll say to the Pope what I said to Madonna. I'm not going to become Catholic, but you're making it look pretty cool. All right, we have a great show for you tonight. We'll be right back with Kara Swisher.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quince. This time of year may make you rethink what's in your closet. Senators, outfits, what? Want to move away from clutter towards high-quality pieces? Otherwise known as clothes?
Yeah.
That's why you should check out Quince. The fabrics feel elevated, the fits are thoughtful, and the pricing actually makes sense too. Quince makes high-quality everyday essentials using premium materials. Their 100% European linen pants and shirts for men are lightweight, breathable, and comfortable. Basically, the perfect layer for spring. The pants strike the right balance between laid back and refined. You look put together without trying too hard. They're I'd like to see you meet. I always am trying too hard, no matter what the pants are. Flown it activewear.
They're not going to help that.
Yeah. Moisture wicking. Anti-odor, soft enough that you can actually want to wear it all day. Best part is prices are 50 to 60% less than similar brands because Quince works directly with ethical factories, cuts out the middlemen. You're paying for quality, not brand markup. Everything is designed to last and makes getting dressed easy. Share your thoughts. I love the sweats. I have a great pair of sweats, great sweatshirt from Quince, great sheets from Quince. They just have great stuff. They have great linen. Just check it out. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada as well. Quince.com/loveit. For free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/loveit. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, depression, conflicts, and relationships, financial struggles, or simply need an impartial third party to help you deal with daily stress, BetterHelp is there to connect you with the support you need. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Everybody needs therapy. You need therapy. Everybody needs therapy.
Take it from us therapy boys.
Listen, I know you think you're perfect, but guess what?
You're not.
You're not. You're not. And you think you have like, oh, you know what's going on? Not until you're in therapy. You got to go to therapy to figure it out. You can't see the forest for the trees. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's better, HELP.com/loveit. Hello, everyone. We're back. I love reading about popes battling with like monarchs. That's what I've been doing. Like, I'm just looking for fun stories of popes battling monarchs. And not the ones we all know, not the Anne Boleyns and the Henry the Eighth, but you go like into like the real, the Middle Ages when it was like Holy Roman Emperor stuff. And it's like all so corrupt and interesting. And they're, and you're like, what are they fighting over? They literally are having a war about this? Amazing. Amazing. It's just funny to pick a fight with that organization. The Catholic, the bishops had to put out that statement saying, when the Pope talks about Jesus, he's not talking theology. He's sharing the gospel as the vicar of Christ. And it's like, when they bring out vicar of Christ, you know they're pissed. Do you know who my father is? And it's also funny. It's like you're picking a pope. You're doing like a Real Housewives battle with the Catholic Church, like the original housewives. Look at their costumes. They've been doing the Met Gala for 2,000 fucking years. And we're back. Big news. Starting April 30th, we will be filming this show at a new location. We are moving to a new studio, and we will be in your feeds twice a week with more and exciting changes we'd rather show you than tell you about. Here's what isn't changing. Everything you like about the show, whatever that is. We will still be recording in front of live audiences with the biggest names in entertainment and politics who don't say no to us. And if you are in the LA area, you can be the first to check out the new studio with free tickets to the April 30th taping. Follow at Love It Show on any social platform of your choosing. We will make the announcement there on our brand new channels. We love Dynasty Typewriter and the team here. It is an amazing home for comedy. It is a Los Angeles institution, and the toilet in the green room is not like that because of me. Please welcome to the stage. You know her from On with Kara Swisher, Pivot, and now from Achieving Immortality. It's the one and only everlasting Kara Swisher. Hi. Good to see ya. Hi, Kara.
Hi, I like your living room.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Live forever.
No, yes. Do you think I mean it?
I don't know.
No.
You don't? I mean, you want to live longer.
Yes.
And you've been learning a lot about living longer.
Yes.
And there's a lot of hype out there from people.
That's why I'm making fun of people. It's ironic.
And you think it's hype? You think these people who think they're going to live forever are hubris?
I do. I think they're arrogant pricks, and that's why I did it, so.
And has anything dissuaded you of that?
No.
Well, so, like, you know, what is it like when you actually spend time learning about what they're trying to do?
Well, there's a couple things. You know, it's one of these sort of, it's like a journey kind of thing where you, there's a ton of misinformation and sort of wellness grifters that have happened online. Ton of misinformation, just as there's with politics or lots of stuff, right? And so there's so much bad information, and people get very big for saying stupid things, especially about healthcare, politics, and everything else. And then there's the wellness grifters, and then there's all these a lot of tech billionaires are putting money into this, which is they're trying to do all manner of treatments to live longer. And you've noticed their body changing. They're doing a lot of body, like Jeff Bezos is a good example of that. But there's a lot of them, and that sort of puzzled me. And it had started before early in Silicon Valley, where you'd be at a dinner and they'd tell you their entire regimen of body hacking or whatever. They call it body hacking. When it's a woman, it's body dysmorphia. When it's a man, it's body hacking. And it's true. And so I had to listen to that. And then they got into Soylent, if you remember that period of time. And then what was funny was, you know, it was started by these very young guys. And when I met them, because they wanted me to write about them, I think it was the Wall Street Journal. And I said, Soylent Green is people. And they go, excuse me? And I was like, I have to kill you now and eat you, make you into wafers, delicious green wafers. So then they did that. Then there was intermittent fasting. And then it just went on and on about their bodies. And then they actually started to transform their bodies and then invest in a lot of these companies, some of which are really interesting, some of which are ridiculous. And then the last part is there is astonishing things happening in medicine around taking your health span and your lifespan and bringing them closer together, because they're about 15 years apart now in this country. People start to really break down at about 64, and lifespan in this country, I think, is 79 right now. So there's this sick care part of your life that you spend all this money. So what is happening to make this closer together and for you to live healthier longer is really interesting.
What is one thing you learned mm-hmm. on your journey that was actually really exciting? You thought, oh, wow. Like, there's a really, like, but what's one example of something you're like, oh, I can't believe how quickly we're going to have this new thing?
Well, some of this, well, mRNA technology, except it's had a huge setback because of the murderous RFK Jr. And the way he's cutting funding. And I visited a lot of Nobel Prize winners and everything else. What's happening there, vaccines for cancer, which is the original thing it was happening for, you know, GLP-1s, very important. And we're still trying to figure out what different things they help. But in terms of obesity is one of the biggest killers, not just obesity, but everything that goes along with it.
It makes it easier to take your shirt off at the beach.
Great. Good for you. And which is a plus. By the way, that makes you happier and you live longer. Peace of mind is actually an important thing. And CRISPR and some of the gene editing stuff is really important. Like, where it's going is going fast. And exoskeletons combined with AI or AI and drug discovery. There's all manner of stuff happening. And then there's the basic things, which are like the two main things. Diet, sleep, and exercise is critically important, but it's not as important as the two top things, which are, and I'm not saying this glibly, don't be poor, be rich is the number one longevity. That's it. That's really the way we treat the poor in this country is really criminal in terms of how quickly they die of stupid things. Right now, measles is making a comeback, which is shocking. And then the second thing is friends and family. There's all this scientific evidence about cognitive issues and everything else that link social interaction and doing different things with human beings, not bots, and the dangerous effects of AI and chatbots. Very dangerous for your mental states.
So it's interesting you talk about the importance of having friends and family, because when you see a lot of these people talking about what they need to do to extend their lives, it's a quite solitary existence. It requires a like monomaniacal, egotistical,
data. Yeah.
But also a time-consuming focus on the self.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't sit in a cryo chamber at the bowling alley.
No, exactly. Know? That's the thing.
And if Brian Johnson, who you
interviewed,
is measuring the amount of semen his
erections.
Offspring are throwing off or whatever it is.
His erections.
Just the erection. I assume volume comes in at some point, presumably.
Right. He measures his erections while he sleeps.
Oh, I think it's much better to think about them when you're awake.
I would agree. He tweets every time he has sex.
I saw that. How does the tweeting about it extend your life?
I have no idea.
But did he seem happy to you?
I don't know. It was interesting because I had met him much earlier when he had sold his company, and he had sort of a lot of changes. Like, he came to my conference in 2017 to talk about brain science, which was really interesting. And he talked about his long depression issues and how he was trying to sort of solve those with some of the stuff. He talked about AI very early compared to other people. And then the next time I saw him, it was, and I'm quoting him, this narcissistic Patrick Bateman motherfucker. That's what he calls himself. And I couldn't disagree. That's what he looks like. He's actually, I think he's a rather poignant figure, but the constant measuring and the idea that he thinks he's helping people by doing this, that he's an experiment of one. And that doesn't help everybody if it's an experiment of one. It's just what keeps him living longer. But he likes the way he looks, so I don't know what to say when... I think it's narcissistic.
Yeah, well, because he seems like he's also doing a lot of aesthetic changes, which have very little to do with extending your life,
and
more about some sort of midlife crisis, which I also think is a respectable thing to have.
But you're seeing that with a lot. Look at Bezos. I mean, he's having the longest midlife crisis I've ever seen.
He's very, very beefy now.
What?
He's very beefy.
Before, I used to be able to beat him up easily, but now it would be harder. He was a skinny little thing. It's so funny. It's like... And they're always like, oh, it's through workouts. I'm like, mm-hmm. Sure.
But it's more than that. It's a chemical. I'm like, you know what it is? Or you,
I don't. I but there's to
some,
guess.
You think there's some sort of regimen that's very, I don't know, avant-garde going on?
Many people speculate that it's HGH, human growth hormone, testosterone, clearly. Because a lot of men are doing testosterone injections. And possibly HGH seems steroids, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. But that you can't get that beefy from lifting weights. You can't.
Good to know.
Not with his body.
Yeah. And you made a chatbot of yourself.
I did.
And
not a chatbot. I made an avatar, which is
an avatar.
A caratar. Yeah.
A caratar. Mm-hmm. And is that going to, then this caratar will outlive you?
No, I'm going to have to kill it before I, it's them
wow.
and me.
What if it begs?
It kind of did, which was interesting because I didn't want to insinuate too much that I was going to kill it, but now it knows somehow. It's actually a 3D figure of me. It's in a box and it's a different kind of thing than you're used to from a chatbot. It looks like me and it talks like we fed a lot of stuff into it and it can, because of the extreme advances in AI, it really can conduct a conversation well beyond stuff. I taped some stuff, but then it takes stuff from all over the place and we had a pretty good conversation. It was pretty creepy, actually.
Do you ever think about the fact that there's this great reservoir of digital content you've made?
Yes, they could make, yes.
And it will live on well past you.
It will.
And it will be, at the end of your life, will continue.
Sure.
Well, the you is gone. It will be ultimately more you than you.
Well, no, but it's not. That's the thing. When you look at this, when you see the exchange, one thing that's really incredible is how quickly it learned, like as I was talking to it. And the conversation got kind of interesting. Like it was really, I was sort of surprised. At first it was a little stilted and then it got better and better. And I thought if you fed more of me into it, it was like an approximation of me, a facsimile. So it was similar to me. I was thinking the whole time, like, would I like my great grandchildren to meet this thing, whatever it happened to be? And then at the same time, because I start in the cemetery where my dad was buried, would I like to kind of talk to him, even if it was effects? Absolutely. So I was sort of like torn. And at the same time, I thought, this is super fucking creepy that this person could be me. And at the end, one of the things that happened, because it's very different than, this was started as a company that would tape Holocaust survivors and then put them in a 3D mode. So they would answer questions at the Holocaust Museum and places like that. If you went off the questions, it couldn't answer it because it couldn't. It just would answer whatever it was a tape of a person, but they made it into a 3D facsimile. And what was really interesting is how much this new creation we made was very flexible. And one of the things it did was I say something, I was sort of debating. I was saying, I don't think you have empathy and you kind of freak me out. And I'm trying not to say I'm going to turn you off because then I'm in 2001 A Space Odyssey and saying, I'm afraid I can't do that, Kara. And then I'm dead. But one of the things it did when I was leaving, and I kind of wanted to say, I'm going to kill you later when the cameras are off. It said something I say only to my kids. Like it's a joke I do where I say, I always say to them, see you, wouldn't want to be you, something like that. And as I was leaving, I said, well, good to meet you. And I turned around and the avatar said, see you, wouldn't want to be you. And I was like, I've never said that publicly. Where did it get it? Where did it find it? And I was sort of chilled by that. It was really interesting. So could be me. It could be me. It will be me someday. Can you imagine a cemetery with that? You go to a cemetery, the thing pops up and you're talking. Well, you'll die first, so I'll go to visit you in the cemetery.
Wow. Wow. So speaking of AI,
mm-hmm.
Anthropic has a new model.
Yes, Mythos.
Mythos, we're saying?
You can pronounce it any way you like. It's going to kill you.
It's you can autonomously, not me, I love it, and yeah. I'm a supporter.
Okay.
Simple as that, Kara.
Okay.
A lot of people out there are saying some pretty unfair things about yeah. Mythos.
Yeah.
Not this show, not me.
Yeah, right.
So as somebody who's obviously rooting for this thing.
Yeah.
It jumped
out of the sandbox, you know.
For sure.
You know, it did.
I know it did. And it does things like, oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm not calling your house to see who's home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing that.
And it is, yeah.
So they're saying it'll help the banking system find and repair vulnerabilities, but it sounds a little like a mob boss saying, a lot of things could go wrong in this neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it'd be a shame if something were to happen to this little story you've got here.
Yep.
I have an idea. Why don't we protect it?
Right.
And you're like, I'm not so sure. I really think something terrible might happen to your store if we don't protect it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So is that what they're doing?
No. No, I think what it is these AI models are incredibly fast. The same thing in medicine. The drug discovery stuff that's happening is astonishing. And some of the gene editing, and it can figure things out really quickly depending on what it is. There's a lot of sort of bad information about the diagnostic stuff. In general, it's going to be fantastic eventually. Like, you know, right now, I know there was one study that said they missed 80%, but when you actually give it all the information, it's usually 30% more accurate than doctors are in diagnostics. But it could be used for good things. It's just the question is, it's so good at figuring things out and seeing patterns and finding vulnerabilities that it can be used by bad actors to do that and then, you know, fuck with everything. And that's the issue. There's so many security flaws in all these systems that we all depend on that we're going to have a real problem figuring out. And then it's owned by a private company, right, who won't tell us a lot, even if that's the nicer AI company. I mean, it's a low fucking bar at this point, right? Like, so I don't know. They kind of remind me a little bit, and I like the people who run Anthropic, but if you remember when Google did the don't be evil thing.
And they changed they're like, we can't have that as our motto anymore.
Well, when they did it, it was really interesting. Larry Page called me and he said, could you write our mission statement? I said, no, I cover you. It's unethical. Like, and he said, well, why not? And I was like, well, unethical, but I'm not going to go into that with you, obviously. And but he said, he told me it was don't be evil was going to be their thing. And I said, really, don't be evil? Because there's a whole lot on the left side of don't be evil that you could do terrible things. Because evil is pretty far down the bad lines.
You could be obnoxious.
You could, well, more
than... You could be rude.
You could steal everybody's information and sell it back to you. Like, that's not evil. That's just not good. And so I was sort of like, why are you going for evil? Why can't you say, don't be abusive of consumer privacy? But they didn't want to do that because they wanted to do
that. Well, it's funny, like, do good.
Right.
That one's easy.
Right,
you know,
but they didn't
pick that. Don't be evil.
Well, it's like move fast and break things. It's like break things. Why do you need to break them? Why can't you fix them? Like,
right,
why
like,
did they pick that word?
It's move a things, computer try word. Not to break things. If you break things, that may happen. Do your best to fix them.
Well, that's a long motto, but.
It does like there's, I find that I see the people that are, that either work for these companies or are in favor of these companies. And you hear a lot of like prognostications about how amazing the technology is and limitless it is.
It's marketing.
And then on the other side, I think you have a lot of people that are worried about the implications. And as part of that, there's like a psychological defense mechanism in which you deny how extraordinary the technology is.
No, I get that. That's why my book is called a Tech Love Story. I mean, there's all these, this series showed there's incredible leaps being made with the help of AI, like around, like especially around cancer, around all manner of things. People don't have to die from the things they die from. Like you could really use this technology. At the same time, the government is hardly involved anymore, like they used to be, first of all. And the government, however flawed is it, is elected by the people, right? It's elected by people, whether they make bad choices or not is another issue. But most of these decisions now are being made by private companies, and there's like seven people making them. And they're the richest people in the world. And where do you think their interests are? Even the best of them, we don't want them. I mean, Dario Modi seems very ethical, but I don't really care. I don't care to have him make decisions about everything. So why is that happening? And why are we letting that happen when it used to be a much more government business, you know, trade back and forth? And research money being taken away from our universities and academics.
Well, the other side of it too is if you are someone that believes that this technology will be generally important and good for the world, and I actually do see there's a lot of ways in which it'll be beneficial and good for the world, then ignoring the ramifications, whether it's for jobs, for the environment, for art, what have you, is also dangerous. You know, somebody threw a Molotov cocktail at Sam Altman's house.
I saw that. I thought that's heinous. That's a heinous thing to have done to him.
Yeah, my point about it is, yes, the absolute, it's wrong. It is, it makes, it's absolutely wrong. The Luddites were right that their textile jobs were jeopardized by the Industrial Revolution.
Right, and they
setting fires
violent.
Would never solve it. Mm-hmm. But we as a society seemed to, these companies seem pretty cavalier. When Sam Altman seems pretty cavalier when he talks about the job losses. And my point would be, if you believe in this technology, then either democracy will be part of it, or democracy will happen to these companies in one way or another.
Well, or not, because there's so much money. I mean, John, the amount of money these people have is beyond. We're in Cleopatra territory here. That was used to be the world's
richest. And how do things end for her?
Well, not well. that was other reasons, bad boyfriends. Think about it. One of the things that troubles me is that I'm just going on how they behaved in the previous part, which was the social media part, and how they behaved before that. And it's always been in their self-interest for their shareholders. And so I don't trust them to do the right thing now, because they've never done the right thing so far. So far, everything's always been rapacious information thieves making products that are shoddy. And just these new AI chatbots, you know, I've been interviewing all these parents of kids who have committed suicide. There's no guidelines. If a therapist talked to a kid the way these chatbots talk to people under 18, you put them in jail. They go to jail for murder, and they don't. Or they're your lawyers, or you upload your medical information. They don't have HIPAA. They're not bound by legal things. They're not bound by everything that everyone else is. So humans can be jailed for the things that these bots are doing. And I don't understand why we're allowing these companies not to have any guidelines whatsoever.
Yeah, I do think it's also this idea.
Or rules.
Like, it's this idea of, like, you know, the Industrial Revolution didn't put children in factories. People did.
Yes.
And you can have the Industrial Revolution without children in factories.
That
we always
great.
Say, like, oh, AI is doing this, or AI is doing... No, the people that control the technology
right.
are doing this. And I think the more we think about these choices as being made not by some kind of abstract
exactly.
technological change, but by the people.
But they're also homogeneous. They're all incredibly wealthy. And again, what they tend to do, and they tend to try to paint people who say, just a second here, with this brush of anti-technology, which is absolutely untrue. You know, we all like these light bulbs. They're fantastic. Like, there was a lot of pushback during when planes were created, when electricity was created. But there's never been this much power concentrated in people whose interest is purely a shareholder. It just is. Why do you think Tim Cook was at the Melania premiere? You think he likes the Melania premiere? Do you think he likes standing next to Brent Ratner?
And documentaries.
It's right.
It's a beautiful art form.
Right, exactly. So it's for a reason that they're prostrating themselves, and it's in order to make more money. And that is problematic, where they run right over all our legislators who already don't have much of a backbone, and run over everything and look, the coin-operated Trump presidency is a perfect venue for them. They would not be they were standing up. That should have been the first clue of them standing in the front row mm-hmm. of that inaugural, because they wanted, what did they want? Same thing in Trump 1. I broke the story when they went to Trump Tower, all of them. Remember that weird Peter Thiel gathering?
Yeah.
Well, pretty much all Peter Thiel gatherings are weird. But they were all there. And I had called them. And at the time, I was speaking to Elon. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, we can convince him not to hate immigrants. I was like, I don't think so. I feel like he's got a history of them. I mean, he's the only consistent one in that. And they were they just did it because they wanted tax breaks. They'll do it again and again. And so there has to be some intervention.
Well, on the other side, maybe some good news is that if these politicians don't have backbones, we can make an exoskeleton and give them a nice carapace.
Yes, that's correct. Let me just say, I love exoskeletons. They're cool.
I would love a carapace.
Right, yeah.
Kara, I've been hiding a terrible secret.
Yeah.
I want to live forever.
I know you do. You're like Scott Galloway in this regard, unfortunately.
A little more hair. I'd settle.
Yes.
but that's only... That's intervention. That's not.
Yeah.
I think biblically we'd have the same amount.
Yeah.
I was also deemed to live forever. I just settle for being hot for a very long time, which is why I'm going to show you the steps in my daily routine.
Okay, let's hear.
And you're going to tell me, and some things I'm thinking about doing.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me if it'll help me with my goals in a segment we're calling The Picture of Dorian Lovett. And for this segment, Hallie, can we please bring out the red light therapy?
Do not put it on my head.
Do you want to put it on?
Oh, good heavens. Okay.
So I'll help you set this up.
Oh, well, thank you.
I got Hallie. Thank you. It won't work unless we...
Okay. Okay. All right.
Reel it up. Yeah, reel it up. Reel it up.
Okay.
There you go. See, it's not just a helmet. Okay.
I look fucking ridiculous. I'm certain of this. I feel like I'm a gay rave in the Castro right now.
It's cool, right?
Okay.
All right. And I just want to start by saying I'm not doing that much.
You're like Homo Bane right now.
Do you feel like a top? Okay. All right. First up, I'm doing creatine. I'm taking creatine.
Okay,
have you learned
it's
about
fine.
Creatine? Is that
yes.
okay?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's interesting. You have to make sure you do blood tests and talk to your doctor because some people react. There's issues around reactions to it. So when you use it, make sure you get tested to make sure it's not having bad impact. But it's actually considered a pretty good thing for health, yes.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's just see what you think as we okay. go then. Getting a little nervous.
All right.
I'm taking fiber gummies.
No, why don't you just eat fiber? Have an avocado.
No.
Okay.
Then it's just a few other little things. Okay. minoxidil, oh Adderall for minoxidil for hair, Adderall for final exams.
Yeah.
Fish oil, multivitamins, hair loss pills that are mostly mushrooms. Also, Mounjaro.
Yeah, good.
Which is
That's
awesome.
Good. Yeah, GLP-1s, we did a whole section on it. They're great. They're great. They're so okay. far so good.
Okay, then I'm putting. Okay, now we're going into skincare.
None of this is Mounjaro. Can we put that back?
Yeah,
let me tell you. All right, go back. All right, fiber gummies. Eat fiber. That eat actual food. There's avocados. There's all manner of things that have. And if not, take Philly that stuff you put in water.
Okay.
But try to eat your fiber if okay. you can. It's hard, but it's really important. This minoxidil, some people have heart palpitations with it, and there's PRP happening, which is not clear if it's effective. And some of this red light is actually showing some promise on hair growth.
There's studies about that.
But the best thing to do is get the surgery and have them put in there.
I did that too.
Yeah.
I did that too. But yeah. I'm running out of places to get new hairs from. The doctors hold my hand and they say,
oh.
Be with your loved ones.
Oh, would you like some of my fantastic hair? Anyway,
oh, okay. That's what I'm
The Adderall, that's your choice, but go for it. It's probably not very good for you, you and President Trump. The fish oil, it's fine. Eat salmon. Eat fish. Like, again, this is something you can get from somewhere else.
Also, you have that at McDonald's.
Yes. You get fish burps, right? So that's a nice.
It's not, you know, the, if you. You,
you do. Okay. You do. You do. I just eat fish.
Okay, like, I'll eat fish. Jesus.
I'm sorry. It's just. A daily vitamin's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is it okay that there are 8 of them?
I don't know why you're taking 8 of them.
That's what it says on the back of the bottle. It says take between 4 and 8.
If I told you to go jump off a bridge, would you do it?
Well, you're not.
Don't listen. You don't need that many. It just seems a lot. All right.
I got to take this thing off. It's getting hot.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, isn't that? So this is something that's gotten trendy. There's blankets. I'm inside of one. I feel like I'm in an air fryer.
I think they're great.
Why?
What?
Why?
Because I think they do something.
Do you think they do something? Well,
I think
you.
My hair has gotten thicker since I've started using it.
You think?
I think so.
Do you know?
Well, I look like I do.
Most
I think,
of the studies are unclear
right.
with most of this stuff. And that's the problem is that like right now peptides are all thing and there's just no good scientific studies on it.
Okay, I'm also doing peptides.
Sure.
Okay. And just a couple other things. Retinol.
You know, a lot of that stuff comes from China. There's some impurities in them. It could be problematic.
Not the ones
There's
I'm
not
using.
Enough studies. There's not enough studies to warrant.
Well, I can't wait the for the studies.
Spending.
I'm getting old now.
All right, okay.
Oh, I also have been doing cryotherapy.
No. Okay. Is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice pants.
Thanks. There's a demure
I know
it, fog
is that at the
there.
Beverly Hills Hotel or something? That's where that
no,
is.
No, this is I don't it's not it's no
anyway,
Studio City.
it's better for know. You to do a sauna.
Oh, I got to do sauna.
Sauna or so steam hot. Room is better. It's unclear about these plunges. They can be very dangerous to, especially women have much more trouble. I did one in the ocean with a bunch of ladies in San Francisco. And it's, again, unclear. And I know they're like, I'm absolutely certain I'm better. And I'm like, can you show me the science? And they cannot show me the science.
And so. Then, like again, I'm just like not doing that much. But like just Botox, dermaplaning, microneedling with exosomes, RF lasers. And I also got this scan.
that one, yeah.
Did you do this?
Yes, with Brian Johnson.
But look how good I'm doing.
Guess what? He found out I was 63 years old and I'm 62. But go ahead. Yeah.
But I was in, look, I'm, I...
What are you doing good on?
I'm in the 84th percentile on UV spots.
What does
spots.
That mean?
I'm just doing so good, Kara.
But this is pointless and costly.
That's true.
Okay. Microbe, if you want to do dermaplane, you feel better. Botox, if you feel better. A lot of this stuff is knock yourself the fuck out, but you're wasting money.
Can I read you what the report sure. that this came with said?
Yeah.
You demonstrate early volume loss in the upper face, including the temples, periorbital region around the brows and eyes, and extending into the mid-face with reduced cheek projection. This contributes to the development of nasolabial folds and a subtle weakening of jawline definition, reflecting a loss of structural support across both soft tissue and underlying framework. At which point, I just threw my credit card at these people.
Can I just tell you what they just said?
What'd they say?
You're getting old.
No.
Yes.
That can't be.
And also, you might be taking, this is a problem with some of these GLP-1s with the with older.
Well, that's just from losing weight.
Yes, but it's not just that. There's a Manjaro face kind of thing.
And
but,
there's one last thing that I'm
okay.
doing.
Okay, wow.
Which is they, and I haven't done it yet, and tell me what you think of this.
Yeah.
They pluck 50 hairs from your head. They use those hairs to get your genetic material to develop secretomes. They take those secretomes and basically turn them into a PRP, PRP-like substance right. and then inject it back into
you. Your thing, yeah. Unclear.
Have you done anything like that?
No.
You're
but
so
I
cool.
have fantastic hair.
You so. Do, but yeah, I know. I know.
No, because a lot of it is look, if this is how I feel. If it makes you feel better, do it. And if you have the money, you're an idiot. You should probably give it to charity and you'd feel better. But if you it makes you feel better, it's fine. Like it's fine. I think the issue is the things that really help you are actually spending time with people, community. These are like I spent an evening with these in this Brooklyn food hall kind of thing, these young people, they left their phones. We played games. I was there with a brain scientist who was explaining what was happening there, which is...
And everybody loves that at a party.
Right, exactly. No, she was great. So it's cognitive help, touching cards and games, talking to each other. Meeting strangers is incredibly healthy for you. I talked to the head of the Harvard Happiness Study. Every indicator of longevity links with social interactions. And isolation and loneliness, especially staring at your phone, is incredibly bad for your health.
Here's what I think we should do.
What?
I'm going to put on both of our calendars
right.
a date 50 years from tonight.
Okay.
And we'll just do this again.
50, we'll both be dead.
I don't think so.
I do. I'm pretty certain I'll be dead. And I'm sure you'll be dead before that.
Kara Swisher wants
Wait, how old are you? How old are you?
I am 43.
Oh, you'll be dead.
You don't think I'm going to make it till 93? I'm doing so much Pilates. It's unbelievable what I'm able to do
That's
in there
a good
now.
Thing. Do
you
strength.
You like Pilates?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
do
all
Pilates
exercise.
With me?
But
when
you
are 90?
Yes. What?
We'll do Pilates together when we're 90?
No. No. You know what's really good? Let me just say. Getting married is a good thing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, Kara's going to be there.
It is a good thing, actually. Yeah.
And boy, wait till you see what these exosomes do between now and then.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was like, can you just
Can I leave you with one final thing? One of the things that prompted me to do this, there's a movie, Moonstruck, that I love.
With Cher.
With Cher, right. And Olympia Dukakis's husband is cheating on her, right? And she's upset about the movies about that. But at the very end, he's standing there and she goes, Carmine, no matter what you're going to do, you're going to die. And then she walks out. And he's, that's what I say. Can I ask you one more question? I ask every single person that I interview this question. How do you want to die?
No, I'm not going to do it. I really don't think about it.
Really?
I don't. I know that I want to live a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And sincerely, my answer is my goal in everything I'm doing in terms of my health, is to try to protect my mobility and ability to live and enjoy my life and the life I've built for as long as humanly possible, including working out intensely, but actually already removing things
mm-hmm.
because the one thing I don't want is an injury.
Right.
And so what I really am sincerely, like, it's not about how I die. I don't know how I die. I'm not in charge
right.
of how I die.
Mm-hmm.
I want to remain as vital and healthy as long as humanly possible. And anything beyond that, I feel is like not really totally
but
up to
me. But
you
just answered the question.
That's how I want to die?
Yeah.
At Solid Core?
No.
Kara Swisher wants to live forever. Saturdays at 9 p.m. on CNN. You can also check out Kara Swisher's podcast on... with Kara Swisher and Pivot. Love both those shows.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Policy Genius. Spring is a season of growth and renewal, the perfect time to ensure the life you're building is protected. Keeping your loved ones secure is a top priority, and Policy Genius makes finding the right insurance policy straightforward and simple. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that allows you to compare quotes from some of America's top insurers side by side for free. Their licensed team helps you get what you need fast so you can get on with your life.
I'm getting married this year.
Yeah.
That's something I'm doing. You know?
And I think perfect time to get life insurance.
Yeah, this one's going to stick too. I feel good about this one. And you know, everybody needs life insurance because it can ease the gravity of protecting what matters most. And maybe it feels overwhelming to figure out how to provide for your loved ones and plan for their financial future, especially if you head to the big podcasting studio in the sky.
Easily find what you need. Coverage amounts, prices, terms, no guesswork, just clarity. Policy Genius helps you find your most affordable policy that meets your needs. They answer your questions, handle paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process. Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best policy to fit their needs. Protect your family with a policy that grows with your life. With Policy Genius, you can find 20-year life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Head to policygenius.com/loveit. To compare life insurance quotes from top companies and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Sundaes. Is your dog food created to maximize your dog's quality of life or to extend the food's shelf life? Think about it. And while you do, let's tell you about Sundaes. Sundaes was founded by a veterinarian and mom, Dr. Tori Waxman, who got tired of seeing so-called premium dog food full of fillers and synthetics. So she designed Sundaes, air-dried, real food made in a human-grade kitchen, using the same ingredients and care you'd use to cook for yourself and your family. Every bite of Sundaes is clean and made with real meat, fruit, veggies, and no kibble. That means no weird ingredients you can't pronounce and no fillers. Compared to kibble or other brands out there, Sundaes invests 50 times more in its ingredients to ensure premium quality. And the best part, you just scoop it and you serve it. No freezer. No
scoop and serve.
Scoop and serve. No freezer. No thawing or prep. Just no mess. Just rich. Just nutrient-rich, clean food that fuels their happiest, healthiest days so you can get more of them to share together.
Leo loves it.
Leo loves Sundaes for dogs.
He hears the food hit the bowl and he just runs.
And he runs. He runs. Make the switch to Sundaes. Go right now to sundaesfordogs.com/loveit50. Get 50% off your first order, or you can use code LOVEIT50 at checkout. That's 50% off your first order at sundaesfordogs.com/loveit50, sundaesfordogs.com/loveit50, or use code LOVEIT50 at checkout.
And we're back! Woo! Please welcome to Sage, the host of the History Podcast. Here we go again. My friend from the Obama administration, you know him, you love him, it's Cal Penn!
Hey!
Hi.
Thanks for having me. Oh. Thanks for letting me fill in, too. I know Eric Swalwell canceled on you last minute. Yeah. And
I'll tell you something.
I happen to be in town. So.
I'll tell you something. Yeah. We were talking about this, and we're like, is Eric Swalwell the worst person that's been on this show?
Right.
And like, then you have to be like, well, who was on before 2017?
Yeah.
That sort of, you know.
Okay, who was it?
Didn't make it through the troubles. I think it is Swalwell in terms of the worst kind of shocking conduct that we've had on this stage, to be honest, if we're going to be serious about it.
Yeah, there was that Epstein show.
But that was a private show just for people on the island.
All right, okay.
Hi, Cal.
How are you?
Hey, your character was famously killed off on House when you left to take a job at the Obama White House. Has it been enough time that we can finally discuss how dirty they did you?
Sure. I mean, it was my choice to leave and join the administration, but I wasn't in the writer's room, so it was not my choice for my character to shoot himself in the head.
They could have said, he had a move to do doctor in other places.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, you couldn't, they said, no, dead.
No, and that's when it was real for me. Like, I was very happy on the show, and then obviously very honored to serve in government, and then chatted with David Shore, who was the amazing show creator for House, and a couple of weeks after I told him that I'd like to leave and go work in government and take the sabbatical for a year from acting, he's like, "You have my blessing." A couple of weeks later, I go into the writer's room and he goes, "So here's how this is going to work. In three episodes, your character is going to kill himself." I'm like, "Oh, I can't change my mind after that. I can't like test out the White House and be like, I don't like it. Can I come back to the TV show? Like you're done.
Like you Cortez know? Burning the ships."
This is like your Martin Luther joke.
Cal, you're also on Industry, Yes. Playing some sort of a finance cretin.
Yeah.
You could have talked to Kara to get to find out about them.
I could have. I could have got.
You're an excellent, let me say, I've met all those people. You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
No
Thank
problem.
You. I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, right? You're a real asshole in that
Thank
show.
You. It's way more fun to be a drug-fueled asshole than a drug-fueled nice guy.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I never think of your character in those movies as being drug-fueled.
I think that's because when they're high, only bad things happen to them.
It's funny, I don't think of, if a person is smoking weed, I don't think of them as drug-fueled. Think of them as just kind of drug disinhibited or drug-quieted.
Yeah, I think now, in 26, oh, but to your point, it's a different kind of drug. Like somebody who's coked up working in finance is different than like a stoned doctor.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I didn't know? He's called House.
Yeah.
He solves mysteries like Sherlock Holmes.
Exactly.
Hey, Cal, you're currently hosting a podcast called Here We Go Again about why history keeps repeating itself. I don't think it does. I think everything just happens once.
You're not the target audience for our show.
But you've covered the space race, the late night wars, union busting. What is the lesson from looking back at all these different moments when it's like, oh, we've done this before?
Yeah. I mean, some of it, I think, is the reason I wanted to do this with Ed Helms and his company is I'm kind of like a nerd for institutional memory, institutional knowledge. I love it in the work we do in entertainment. I think it's super fascinating if you look at the studio system or how unions organized all of that. I think it's really fascinating in government, especially when you lose it in certain administrations and people who've never had it and don't know what it's like to hold up different agencies and why they exist and all of that. I'm not big on like I shouldn't host a political podcast, but the reason I wanted past, present, and future history wise is to tackle stuff like that. You mentioned the space race. We had Bill Nye on. He was our first guest looking at how, you know, the space race during the Cold War was because of competition between the US and the Soviet Union. Now it's basically just like a dick pissing contest between billionaires, but there are reasons behind that. That was cool. I think one of my favorite episodes, we had a woman named Ruby Rare, who studies non-monogamy and writes about non-monogamy. And non-monogamy is like a thing that people talk about now, the last kind of 10 years, but it's not new. It goes back thousands of years. So things like that I thought were just really, really fascinating.
On the in some of those caves,
yeah,
there are pictures of a guy sort of talking to a female figure and pointing at another female figure and is like, and that's what they think is evidence of the first guy to say, what if we open things up?
We didn't even go back that far. You went way back. Yeah. You went to cave paintings.
Hey. You're friends with Zohran Mamdani.
And I was waiting for the reaction. I mean, I know your audience, but still. Yeah.
And it's connected to how you were in the movie The Namesake.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I did this movie The Namesake way back in the
Wonderful
day.
Book.
Incredible book. It was based on a book by a woman named Jhumpa Lahiri.
Now that there's a movie, you don't have to worry about that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
you.
No. But
it's
the reason
good for your health to read, but go ahead.
Can you see through the mask? With that on?
It's really hard to watch TikToks with the red light mask on.
Oh, God.
So you gotta be like, I can't watch TikToks, I'm doing my red light. So that's another benefit. It's hard to scroll because you're just seeing red on the screen. You know what I mean? That's the thing.
You are so going to die before me, but go ahead.
Because of his neuroses or
the whole
just
thing.
In general?
The whole package.
Namesake.
Right. Yes. So, look, so I did this movie, The Namesake, and the only reason I was allowed to even audition, I go to the audition and the director, a wonderful woman named Mira Nair, who I've admired since I was a kid, she goes, you know, the biggest reason you're here is that my 14-year-old son, Zohran, is a big fan of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, and he's been begging me to audition you. He says that you're the right choice for this. He showed me clips from that movie, which really only showed me that you're the wrong guy to be in my independent drama. But that's what got me in the room, and then I met Zohran that day, ended up booking the part, and we became friends. So if your next question is political, I'm the most biased person you could answer that, who could answer those questions.
As a favor to him, maybe you could like slay the Rat King or like shovel snow. Have you thought about doing any of that to kind of repay Zohran for this?
No. I could, you know, I would do, I would shovel. I'm still young enough. I can shovel.
Is shoveling good or bad for your health?
Yeah.
Probably bad.
Why?
Well, because a lot of people are getting heart attacks doing it.
That's when they're not.
Because they haven't exercised enough. It can be stressful.
What are you saying about me? I'm in the peak of health.
Okay. Well, you know what? This outfit alone is going to make you live 2 years longer.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted something that looked like.
Robots are going to do that. Shovels.
If Fidel Castro smoked blunts instead of cigars.
That's really cool. I see that. Yeah.
Thank you.
I see it. Now, philosopher and famous guitar player George Santanaya once said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." According to me, John Lovett, those who can remember the past are condemned to play a game we call just a little bit of history repeating. Inspired by Cal's podcast, I will give you a historical event. You will tell us if you think it's something that happened in the past and is happening again, or it's a one-off, the rare one-off. All right, first up, a power-mad ruler clashes with the sitting pope for refusing to bend Catholic doctrine to fit his personal whims. Has that happened before?
Yes.
Yeah, you got it.
It has, it has.
Yeah. That's right. Trump is following the footsteps of Henry VIII. So because he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. Then he made himself the head of the Church of England. You know that's on his mind. Trump, you know Trump wants to create the Church of America. How crazy would that be? It would backfire, probably.
Would it?
I hope so. I hope he tries it. Kara, would you want to be buried on a golf course?
I don't really care. I want a Viking funeral, so.
Oh, so is that where they fire the arrows? Into?
That's why I had four children. At least one of them is going to hit it. So. So sad you're not going to see it, but. Cal and I are going to have such a good time at your funeral. Yeah. We're going to put the fun in funeral.
Cal's going to be at my funeral?
I'll be there.
Absolutely.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'm shoveling snow. Of course I'll be there.
I can run so fast. I've been working out so much. All right. Forget about brain rot. Teens are going to end up with that and worse if they keep indulging this actual fad, swallowing live goldfish.
Yeah.
Is that a one-off or a repeating?
I mean, meaning, has it happened more than once? Yes, it's happened more than once. It happened in my classes, and then I saw it on the internet.
Huh.
You going to tell me it didn't happen?
No, it's never happened.
You going to gaslight me into what happened to my school? All right.
Started by Harvard student on a $10 dare, goldfish gulping was a short-lived fad amongst American college kids spreading from MIT and Penn before petering out, presumably because it was cruel and disgusting. If only we had been smart enough to do the same with Facebook.
Oh, so not one occurrence, but
no, but
one
like a trend
era.
Of people doing it, an era of doing it. Yeah. Hey, Cal, do you when the youth find out that you worked for Barack Obama, do they ever say to you like, "Ah, he was such a moderate"?
Yes. Do you get that?
Sometimes.
Do you enjoy it? I enjoy it.
What do you say?
First, I say, this happens at college campuses a lot. I think first I say, "You're fucking welcome." Which people are weirded out by for good reason. But the reason I say that is I like it because to me it shows that through a 2026 lens, something that we couldn't take for granted because it hadn't happened yet, whether it's marriage equality, whatever's left of the ACA, things like that, that just wasn't a thing. You had to fight really hard for that. So to me, that means it's a good sign that the goalposts have moved. Not that it's not perfect, not that Barack Obama didn't make a ton of mistakes, but that's why I say it's great that we can think he's a moderate by today's standards, because it means we've moved the needle.
Isn't there a party that also is like, "Get off my lawn"? To get you on how good you have it.
But, well, now that we're turning into the "get off my lawn" guys, yeah, for sure.
Do you think turning into a "get off my lawn" person is bad for the health? Probably.
You know, interestingly, my mother watches Fox News 24 hours a day, and she's 92 and seems not to be able to die at any time soon. Rage probably can keep you going.
It embalms you in some way.
Somehow, yeah.
Keeps you going.
It does.
Powered by rage. I am not powered by hope. I am powered by rage. Maybe that's an argument.
It sometimes can do it. Sometimes, every time she like something comes on, like trans fencers or some, you know, like our biggest problem in this country. Yeah. She's like, "We've got to, you know, this, we've got to do something about this." I go, "What do you care? You're not going to be here for the trans fencer takeover of the Olympics." So now I'm at that stage with her. It's like, doesn't matter for you. That's it's 5 years
like,
from now.
It's like, yeah, mom, what are your splits on a 200 meter?
I literally say, "What do you care?" to my mother a lot.
What does she say to that about the trans swimmers?
She thinks it's a terrible thing.
It's a problem that's in her mind.
It's in her mind.
I think the way that like trans athletes figure into the conservative world is the same way quicksand works in the child's mind. It's like, I'm not saying it wouldn't be bad to fall in quicksand. I'm not going to debate you on what to do about quicksand. I'm just saying you'll find out once you're an adult, it doesn't come up that much.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You're right. Do you know what to do in the case of quicksand? Probably not.
I do. I've watched many of the videos of that guy outside that French castle that gets engulfed with quicksand twice a day.
Good.
That's a lot of it. It's a lot of this. Cal, in an effort to kill a ghost, one man changed the course of British history. Has it happened many times or one time?
One time.
In the 1804 Hammersmith murder ghost case, a man named Francis Smith shot and killed a bricklayer named Thomas Millwood, mistaking Millwood's white bricklayer clothes for a local ghost. The case created a legal precedent. A defendant can be held accountable for their action even if it was based on a mistaken belief.
What year was this?
1804.
So after the witches.
Okay. That was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were women. Right. Those were women. They were talking about killing a person. Here we go again. Podcast with Snafu, which Ed Helms' company. Yeah. You can check it out. And season 4 of Industry is on HBO. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is America's largest and most trusted online nursery with thousands of trees and plants and over 2 million happy customers? They have all the plants your yard or home needs, including fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and houseplants, all grown with care and guaranteed to arrive healthy. Somebody I know was trying to find, they were saying, hey, I'm looking for 40-foot-tall spruces to hide a big building in the nation's capital. Do you have any of those? You have any 40-foot spruces?
Yeah. What can you do for me there? Whatever. Fast-growing trees.
Yeah.
We got a fast-growing ballroom we need to cover.
Whatever you're looking for, Fast Growing Trees helps you find options that actually work for your climate, space, and lifestyle. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. Click order grow and get healthy, thriving plants delivered to your door. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee promises that your plants arrive happy and healthy. No green thumb required, just quality plants you can count on. Plus, get ongoing support from trained plant experts who can help you plan your landscape, choose the right plants, and learn how to care for them every step of the way. We love Fast Growing Trees. We got tons. It's basically a rainforest cafe around the office. Just tons of great plants from Fast Growing Trees. Somebody, I was talking about this, we discovered an uncontacted group of tribe in the furthest reaches of the office, because that's how much life we brought in. That's how much plant life. Yeah, got to hack your way into there with a machete. I saw Lorraine Bronco was there, and she said that they had found the cure for a disease in some of these plants, but because of deforestation, we might not ever get to exploit it. Really
sad. That is really sad.
That's how many trees we have here. So from the film The Medicine Man, starring Sean Connery. Right now, they have great deals on spring planting essentials, up to half off on select plants. And listeners to our show get 20% off their first purchase when using the code LOVEIT at checkout. That's an additional 20% off better plants and better growing at fastgrowingtrees.com using code LOVEIT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LOVEIT. Now's the perfect time to plant. Let's grow together. Thought that was from a different ad. Use LOVEIT to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply. And we're back. And now we end our show by looking to the beginning. It's time for second thoughts. Here's how it works.
Okay.
We talk about what we regret from tonight.
Oh.
That's part of the show. Hey, we cut that fart and Luther joke, and then I did it anyway. We cut it for a reason. We debated it. We decided it wouldn't work, but I couldn't stop myself from calling Trump fart and Luther. Mailing his 93 feces to the door. Also cut.
How do you feel about the fact that you did it anyway?
I think that's part of the show. The producers say I was too complimentary of Riley Gaines' swimming.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Unbelievable.
Oh, I see how you take notes here. Wow.
Kara, I referred to Brian Johnson's semen volume, which is, I think, not part of it.
It may be.
It's really just erection measuring. In my mind, he was coming into a cup and then checking out the amount.
He does look at his poop very carefully.
Right. Well, yeah.
Probably the best of the things he does. He can tell a lot from poop.
It's interesting. I probably, honestly, like every morning I take my dog for a walk and a great, it's like good poop today. This dog's going to live another day.
Right.
You know? So it's kind of a similar
thing.
What
are you, thing. Like Dr. Welby or something? Like good poop?
Yeah, yeah. I'm Kellogg.
Kellogg.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm like,
oh, another historical reference nobody's going to get, but go ahead.
I don't care. Someone out there gets it. I didn't fully understand the history game. It was too embarrassing. and that's my fault. Kara, do you have any regrets about this evening?
Not at all.
Oh, that's so
See,
nice.
See, that's part of being healthy.
You think? I think it's about getting it out there, you know?
Okay. Cal, how do you want to die? No, I'm kidding.
How do I want to die? Oh, boy.
Yeah. Why is it teasing when you ask him, but you ask me straight to my fucking face? You ask him.
I'll tell you how I want to die.
How does
he
want to die?
I'll tell you exactly
how
I want
to
die.
Well, we know how you died on that show. That's a shame.
No, I don't want to die that way.
Yeah.
I want...
Neither do we.
I want to die in space. I want to...
Really?
I want to get to go up on a, like, on one of those, you know, I'm never going to have the kind of money that can buy a $500,000 ticket, whatever.
Right. Not with that attitude.
But sometimes, for sure. But then, like, sometimes they give, like, a little seat. Yeah, a free seat.
The Gale
filmmaker,
seat.
The actor, Gale whatever. Seat. Yeah. I want that seat.
You want the Katy Perry seat.
Yeah, right. But I specifically want to make it out. On reentry, fine.
Right.
As long as something is learned from the failure.
How far do you want to go out?
Far enough. I mean, certainly a couple of orbits, but if we're talking far,
like,
I'm okay.
Like the Artemis.
As long as we learn something. Yeah. Wow, when he burned up, it was such an interesting color.
I'm saying if one has to choose how they're dying and you get the privilege of choosing
the only time Elon Musk made a very good joke was he said, I want to die on Mars, just not on landing. Oh, nobody laughed.
And that's the best joke he's ever told. Can I tell you something, a serious point about this, which is whenever I think about these people fighting for immortality, and I remember a stat, it may be somewhat apocryphal, but I'm sure that it's about right, which is that even if you cured cancer, you'd extend life about 7 years. That was a stat that was going around for a while. And I think about what would happen. It's like, oh, wow, Brian Johnson, he got to live 200 years. He got to live 300 years. He got to live 500 years. This universe is so old. The scale of time in the world is so
vast.
Going
deep. Okay.
You are living but a moment. It could be 100 years or 200 years or 500 years. It will be short. No matter how much toilet paper you buy at Costco, you run out.
Yeah.
You can fill your car with it. You could do 5 trips. You will run out of toilet paper.
Okay.
There's no way around it. And you may feel good looking at your mountains of toilet paper, thinking I'll never need to go to Costco again. But one day, my friend, you will pull a piece and it will be cardboard and there will be no toilet paper left. No matter how much you buy, you can build a pyramid of this stuff. You can hire millions of people to bring more toilet paper to you. It will run out. And there's beauty to that.
If you pulled out a knife and eviscerated a small animal after that monologue, I would not be surprised. Right. There was a look in your eye.
And that's our show. Thank you to Cal Penn.
Thank you.
Thank you to Kara Swisher. We will see you next week at the Lincoln Theater in Washington, D.C.
Whoa.
Just a few tickets left for that one. There are 198 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It's written and produced by me, John Lovett. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus is our senior staff writer. And Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Suba Argwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Caderna-Reeves, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, Jay Banks, Milo Kim, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week so that you can. Love It or Leave It is produced by Lee Eisenberg, and our head of production is Matt DeGroat. And our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. It's Love It or Leave It.